Mother's Day is a precious day.
Amen.
Because mother is precious.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Mother is incomparable. Mother is irreplaceable. Is there anyone like our blessed mother? I say no. No, there's not. Mothers give up everything that they are, every personal dream that they may have had, to be a mother. Some of you said being a mother was my dream. Amen to that. Some ladies were into careers and going, and God allowed them to be a mama. By the way, we've got some young children in here. Mothers are to be obeyed. I need more amens than that. Mothers are to be honored. You see, I'm 6'2", 200 pounds, and I'm never too big to honor my mother. Young people, you may get older and your mother and father may not be in the position of command, but if you're smart, you'll honor them and allow them to be in the position of counsel. That's what it means to honor. By the way, that's Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Why? That your days may be long upon the earth. The things in my life that were worthy were born in my mother's breast and birthed into mine by the magic of the love her life expressed. The years that have brought me to manhood have taken her far from me, but memory keeps me from straying too far from my mother's knee. God, make me the man of her vision, and purge me of all selfishness. God, keep me true to her standards, and help me to live to bless. God, hallow thy holy impress of the day that used to be, and keep me a pilgrim forever to the shrine at my mother's knee. I watch, and forgive me, I'll not embarrass my wife. She's not normally in here on Sunday morning, but I watch how my sweet wife mothers my children. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad. And I hope you other dads are too.
Amen.
Amen. You see, you watch the way, the gentle way that our wives are with our children. And I'm so blessed. I'm blessed also to have my mom with us. What a blessed man I am. The context of our text today in 1 Samuel, we learn in verses 1 through 8 of a woman named Hannah. And we learn of her barrenness. Brother Ewald, all she wanted to do was be a mama. That's all she wanted. And you read the story here. And by the way, don't let the devil and those that would pervert the Bible take this story. This man, Elkanah, he was married to two wives. By the way, God never approved. Thank you. He never did. He never commanded that. He made a mistake. And I have to say right here, while I love mothers and I appreciate mothers, this man had two mother-in-laws. Amen. Solomon, old Solomon, he had 700 mother-in-laws. God help him. Amen. So, and what had happened was the one woman here, Paniah, she was having children and giving birth, and she was mocking Hannah, which was common in the Jewish age that we're dealing with here. If you couldn't have children, it meant that you were out of disfavor with God and there was something wrong in your life. And so she mocked her. And Hannah here, we see her barrenness. By the way, she was blessed. Elkanah was so good to her. And he said to her, he said, "Aren't I better to you than 10 sons? Don't I treat you so good and love you?" And of course she was. She was blessed but barren. So we see the barrenness in verses 1 through 8. Verses 9 through 18, we see the bitterness. She was in bitterness of soul. Why? She wanted that baby. Oh, I feel for ladies, and I know there are some right here in our midst that have miscarried children. My own wife, just last year before we had Katia, we believe we miscarried twins. And I'll tell you, I'm thinking of a dear lady back from our home church in Massachusetts. I believe she said she had 8 babies in heaven. 8 miscarriages. And just imagine yourself, Mama, you had got that news. And here's Hannah. She just, I just want to be a mama. I just want to be a mother. She was loved, but she was longing, wasn't she? She was longing. So we see the barrenness, the bitterness, and praise God, verses 19 through 28, we see the birth. We see Hannah requesting and remembered by God. Requesting and remembered. The title of our message today is Mother, a Study in Perseverance. You see, what's perseverance mean, Pastor? What is that word? Well, Webster's 1828 dictionary, a great resource, by the way, defines perseverance as persistence in anything undertaken, continued pursuit or prosecution of any business or enterprise begun. By the way, may I just say as a sidebar, each one of us needs to develop the most important character trait of perseverance in our lives. You say, what is perseverance? I think a good old-fashioned word is just good old-fashioned stick-to-itiveness. Just sticking at a thing. Just keep at it. Just staying at it until it gets done. Remember our home church back in Massachusetts was called Mountain View Baptist Church. Our pastor named it that when we were in the flats in the YMCA meeting. He named it Mountain View Baptist Church. Well, it turns out, Brother Leonard, God allowed that church to purchase 14 acres of property on the side of a mountain that was all rock and shale. Do you know how hard it is to shovel rock? It's hard. I mean, trying to dig that out, I remember we had a pipe burst underneath. God bless it. It burst underneath, and a bunch of us men got out there with shovels, and you know the first thing that happened? You get about a half an inch of dirt, and then clink, clink, and you know what it took to get that thing done? Just some old-fashioned perseverance. Perseverance. Can I say, we need to be persevering in our marriages. And all God's people said. This is a sidebar. This is not the whole message here, but ladies and gentlemen, we just need to stick at it. We just thank God for the examples we have in our church of 40 and 50 and 60 years marriage. Hey, you know what it takes? Perseverance. You're not always going to agree. Amen. But you agreed to get married. You agreed on that. Stick to it. Amen. Stick. I think about church memberships. People hop from church to church to church to church. Listen, get in a place that loves God, preaches the Word of God, and stick at it. Stick at it. I think of service, this area of service and serving God. Listen, don't serve Him 1 week and then not serve Him another. Serve Him! Stick at it. Persevere. Bible reading. Personal relationship. Boy, we live in an age where if somebody offends us, that's it. They're gone. That's not Bible, ladies and gentlemen. That's not Bible. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We, Matthew 18, we get together, we work it out, we persevere, amen? Bible reading. I think of witnessing efforts. Witnessing efforts are a study in perseverance themselves. You know what we're supposed to do? Just keep sowing seed. And eventually we'll have a crop. And eventually it'll be time to reap. Mothers are a study in perseverance. They are. They just have that old-fashioned stick-to-itiveness in so many areas of their life. I think of the way they raise their children. I think of how they teach it. Mothers are always teaching. Always. Always. By the way, there are so many great teaching opportunities in life. Mothers are so good at that, just teaching. I think of the way they nurture their children. I think of cleaning and all God's mom said. That's a study in perseverance right there. Amen. Let me give you three areas here where we can see Hannah persevering. And I think it applies to the moms in this room. Hannah was such a mother. She was a study in perseverance. She kept on, number one, look at verse number 10. It says, she was in bitterness of soul and what? Prayed unto the Lord. And if you go down, you find all the way down through verse 17, she's praying here, and of course the conversation with Eli. But number one, Hannah kept on praying. Boy, if there's a virtue of perseverance that mothers have, it's praying for their children. Some of you have been praying for a wayward child for decades. Can I tell you? Keep doing it. Keep at it, Mama. Keep praying. She was one who didn't just pray once or twice, but literally she was in bitterness of soul and she prayed unto the Lord. Look at verse 12. And it came to pass as she continued what? Praying. The barren years had passed and yet she prayed. The childless tears flowed, and yet she prayed. She persevered. She kept praying. Hey, can I admonish you today, mothers? Keep praying when life is good. Keep praying when life is bad. Keep praying on the sunshiny days, and keep praying on the rainy days. Your prayers are not in vain. We heard a wonderful story yesterday at the ladies' banquet. I told somebody that. They said, why were you at a ladies' banquet? And I said, well, I was running the sound and serving the drinks and the salads and things. And Mrs. Howland told us a great story about her son Brian, who had been hurt by a church member. God help us, ladies and gentlemen. God help us with our words. We would hurt a young person in this church. God help us. Help us to be patient and tender. And I know sometimes we're doing things and we're busy. And young, listen, my boys can get under my feet like your boys can get under yours and girls and all that. But she mentioned how he was hurt and how he had bittered up against God. But you know what she did and Brother Hugh did? They prayed and prayed. And prayed and prayed and prayed year after year, after 5 years, after 10 years, after 20 years, after 30 years. And he's back with the Lord now, reading his Bible, going to church. Why? I'll tell you why. No offense to Brother Hugh, I know you prayed, but persevering Mama's prayers. Praying. You know, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 18 verse 1, Jesus spake a parable unto them that men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. I know my precious wife again prays for our children. You moms are incredible. Dads need time and space to pray. Moms can pray while they're washing dishes, changing diapers, running the sweeper. That's moms. Keep on praying, Mom. Keep on praying. By the way, just a few side notes there. Verse 10, it says, she was in bitterness of soul, prayed on the Lord, wept sore. She prayed tearfully. Tearfully. God, give us mamas who will weep when they pray. And I know you do. She prayed tearfully. How else did she pray? She prayed sorrowfully, according to verse 15. Says Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. She prayed earnestly, according to verse 15. She said she wasn't drunk with wine or strong drink. The end of the verse says, I have poured out my soul before the Lord. And if you go back to verse 11, and this is certainly Mama's prayer, she prayed unselfishly, didn't she? She didn't just pray that God would give her a son. She said, if you give him to me, I'll give them back to you. Many of us have stood and seen our children dedicated. That's such a solemn occasion. Because you know what we're saying? thank you for loaning them to us. Because whether we live or die, we are the Lord's, Romans says. Prayer. Keep on praying. Keep praying, moms. I know you are. Maybe some of you just got a little discouraged in prayer. All right, start over. Amen? Start over. Hannah was a study in perseverance. She kept on praying. Something else she did, if you look at verse number 11, it says, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And those of you that know your Bible here know that she was giving a Nazarite vow to Samuel, one of the Nazarites. Another one we know in the Bible, of course, was Samson, was a Nazarite. Then if you look down at verse 18, it says, and she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Down to verse 20. Said, wherefore it came to pass that when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare him a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Down to verse 27. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord. First of all, Hannah kept on praying. The second thing Hannah kept was Hannah kept her promises. Hannah kept her promises. Here we have an evident example. In verse 11, she made a promise. And she said, God, if you'll do this for me, I'll do this. God answered her prayer. Now, that's about the time where some people say, okay, end of the story. God, if you do this for me, I'll go to church every week. I'll tithe. I'll be faithful. Hannah kept her promise, didn't she? She kept her promise. She made the promise, she kept the promise. By the way, keeping our promises is important to our own children. If you make a promise, I know sometimes life gets in the way. I get that. I've had to say to my children, I'm sorry. Daddy said he would, but boy, I'm telling you what, I try to go at least 95 to 5 on that. 95 trying to do your best, to dead level best, to get everything out of the way. If you make a promise, you ought to keep it. Amen. Especially to those little ones, those precious little ones. But not only is it important to keep our promises to our own, it's important to keep our promises to our Heavenly Father. Amen. It's better not to vow a vow to God. Ecclesiastes. Miss Shelley, was that your scripture today? It was, wasn't it? Better not to vow a vow than to vow and break it. But some people say, well, I'm just not going to promise God anything then. That's a bad way to live. Amen. It's okay to say, God, if you do this for me, I'm going to be faithful and follow through on it. He's given us everything, has He not? Amen. It's important to study in perseverance. Keep on praying. Mothers, there's studies in perseverance when it comes to prayer. There's studies in perseverance when it comes to keeping their promises. And then lastly, she kept on praying. She kept her promises. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, we'll not take the time to read them all. We'll read them individually. You know what else Hannah did? She kept on praising. She kept on praising. I've known some mothers to go through some things that I just thought, my heavens, how on earth do they do it? Anytime I've known a mother to lose a child, I just think, my heavens, Brother Robert, I think I'd probably give up. I'm just trying to be transparent with you this morning. We see how discouraging that is, or that a mother would carry that child for 9 months and then have them for just a few years, a few hours, a few minutes, a decade, I remember when my mother's brother died, my mother's oldest brother, and my grandmother said to me, with tears in her eyes, he died of Agent Orange, he had contracted in Vietnam. With tears in her eyes, my grandmother said to me, no mother should have to bury a child. Amen. I've seen other mothers scorned by their children. And I don't think it's wise to compare those two things. But I almost think the second is worse. You listen to me. If you are in this room and you have aught with your mother, you are sinning. I don't care who she is or what she is. She gave you life! And she's to be honored and respected. Hannah, she kept on praising. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. She persevered in praising the Lord for His... First of all, it says, and Hannah prayed. There it is again. She kept praying. She'd already got the child. She already gave him back to the Lord. But she's just a lifetime of prayer. And said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy... Hey moms, I hope you praise the Lord for salvation. That you can sit that child on your knee and tell him how Jesus loved him. Tell her how Jesus loved her. Tell her how Jesus came and lived and died and rose again so that that little one could go to heaven. We're only going to find out the tale of heaven, how many children got saved at Mama's knee. Wow. I know my little boy did. Last year. Why? It was Mama every day teaching him the Bible. Every day. She persevered. She praised the Lord for His salvation. Look at verse 2. Said, there is none holy as the Lord. She praised Him for His holiness. Boy, ladies and gentlemen, this morning at Loomis Park Baptist Church, I'm glad to report to you that though this world keeps going down the slippery slope of wickedness, God in heaven is still holy and still worthy of praise and still worthy of holy living by His people. She praised Him for His holiness. She praised Him for His salvation. Verse 2, the end of verse 2 there, it says, neither is there any rock like our God. She praised Him for His faithfulness. Our God, thank God, is faithful. It is of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. Great is Thy faithfulness. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we believe not, He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Thank God He's faithful, even when we're not. Faithful is He who calleth you, who also will do it, 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says. She praised Him for His salvation. She praised Him for His holiness. She praised Him for His faithfulness. In verses 2 through 6, she praises Him for His power. Ladies and gentlemen, our God is the one where it says of Him, in the beginning God's created the heaven and the earth. God said, let there be light, and there was light, and it was good. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:3 that by His Word were the heavens made. The foundations of old. Literally, that's the kind of power our God has, worthy of praise. Our God is the one who stood at a tomb of His friend and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that had been dead 4 days came forth, the Bible says, bound hand and foot. Imagine what that must have been like. She praised Him for His power. Boy, I think of how we ought to praise Him for His power. Not just for what He can do, for what He does every day. All that's going on in your body right now, how's that happening? The power of God. The power of God. Salvation, holiness, faithfulness, power. She praised Him for His sovereignty in verses 7 and 8. says there, the Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. He lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. The pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He hath set the world upon Him. Say, our God is sovereign in all things. He knows what's going on. Praise Him for His protection. Verse 9. He will keep the feet of His saints. Aren't you glad for that, saints? By the way, a saint isn't someone who has done a lifetime of good deeds. A saint is a sanctified one. One that God has set apart. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a saint. It says she praised Him for His protection. And then in verses 9 and 10, it says, He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. You know what she praised Him for there? She praised Him for victories. Victories that He had given. So mothers, we certainly do honor you today. You are a study in perseverance. And I want to encourage you to keep persevering. Mama, keep on praying. Keep on praying. By the way, a lot of prayers are answered after you're in glory. But now's the time to pray. Keep on praying. Keep persevering in prayer. You've got a wayward one. Don't give up. Don't give up on him. Keep praying for him. Keep loving him. Keep praying. Keep your promises, Mama. Keep your promises. Not only to the ones you love, but to the one you love above all. And then also, keep on praising. You know when's a good time to praise the Lord? All the time. All the time. Keep on praising Him. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. He's worthy of our praise this morning. Father, thank You.